Friends, this is Susie Larson, and thanks so much for listening to this podcast of Live the Promise. To learn more about the show and to listen to other Live the Promise shows, log on to myfaithradio.com. Tuning in today, I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, hour two of Live the Promise. And if you just tuned in, you missed my first hour discussion with Carol Kent, my good friend. She's written a great book. It's called Unquenchable, Grow a Wildfire Faith That Will Endure Anything. And if you are walking through a battle, in fact, if you listened and you really want to get your hands on that book, we've got two copies. I didn't open the phone lines. I wanted to give Carol as much time as possible. So here's the deal. I'm going to have the first two of you who email me who need this book, email me and write Unquenchable in the subject line, and we'll get it to you, all right? My email is Susie@myfaithradio.com. Susie@myfaithradio.com. Second hour here, we're going to talk with Dr. Kevin Lehman because he says it is possible to have a happy family by Friday. You think it's possible? Well, he says it is, and he's a pretty smart guy. Before we get him on, I want to say a special shout out and welcome again to our friends, our WKTO listeners tuning in from New Smyrna Beach, Florida. So glad to have you as part of the Live the Promise family. I don't want to waste another moment now. Let me tell you about my guest, and we'll get him on the show. Dr. Kevin Lehman is an internationally known psychologist, radio and TV personality, educator and speaker who has taught and entertained audiences worldwide with his wit and common sense psychology. He's written more than 40 books. Dr. Lehman and his wife Sandy live in Tucson, Arizona. They have five children, two grandkids, and you can find his influencer page on our website at myfaithradio.com. Dr. Lehman, welcome back to the program.
Hey, good to be with you, Susie. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Well, you've been on before, so you know the drill. Wondering if there's a verse that God's been speaking about these days, or maybe a life verse that you sort of carry with you wherever you go.
Well, there's lots of them. Oh, my goodness, I love those. Well, you know, give you a verse. I have a lot of verses. I give you all kinds of verses. I'll give you a whole chapter.
Okay. You always John have to 14. Do things differently, don't you, Kevin?
I do.
Okay.
You know, you're just not going to get a verse out of me.
All right. Give me a chapter.
But I love John 14 because as I was studying God's word one day, it hit me that there weren't 12 dumber people than the disciples.
Okay.
I mean, these guys didn't get it. They really didn't. Now, I know Jesus picked them. Don't be sending me bad emails about that. But he gets up and he says, okay, fellas, listen up. I'm out of here. And I'm going to go prepare a place for you. And you know where I'm going.
Mm-hmm.
And Thomas steps up to the plate, first of all. And he says, Lord, we have the foggiest idea what you're talking about. Now, people are wondering what translation this is. Just keep looking for it. You'll find it. And then to top it off, Philip gets up and says, yeah, good point, Tom. Show us the Father, and then we'll know. And Jesus looks at Philip and says, Philip, after all this time you've been with me, you don't know who I am? Well, talk about dumb and dumber. There they are. Now, I want to make this a positive statement. You ever feel like you don't measure up?
Mm-hmm.
Like you didn't jump high enough? You're in pretty good company.
Mm-hmm.
Because these guys walked and talked to Jesus Christ. They saw him perform miracles before their very eyes. They saw him die on the cross. And then we read that after Jesus was hung on that cross, where did we find the disciples? Huddled behind closed doors. Okay? And I got to chuckle when I say this. And all of a sudden, whoosh, in their midst, he didn't knock on the door. He didn't say, can I come in? All of a sudden, in a supernatural way, there he is in the middle of the room. And these guys, these men of great faith, go, whoa. Whoa, blah, 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 blah. We just saw you. You're dead. And you know what? I just want that to be encouragement for people. You ever wonder why Jesus' grace is so bountiful? Could it be because you and I need it?
Indeed.
And so don't beat yourself up. Realize how imperfect you are, but realize we worship a living God.
Amen.
A life-changing God.
I've never heard it.
Be still and know that I am God. So if you ever ask me a question like that again, I'm going to warn you in advance, Susie. You're going to get a mini sermon.
You never fail to disappoint. There's so many things.
And I'm not a preacher.
So many things I want to say about this exposition of Scripture. I can't even tell you. One, though, you are so right. I mean, these men turn the world upside down, and it is true that they were left wanting except for the grace of God. And you and I were just chatting before the show that your mom had a prayer request at the top of her prayer list for you. What was it? Just tying this together here.
She told me as an adult, she said, Kevin, she said, I don't know if I should tell you this or not, but when you were in high school, I prayed fervently for just one C to appear on your report card. As a sign there was something there. I just finished a book that'll be out next year, and I found a copy, Susie, of my freshman year report card. Now, I'm so old that in those days they didn't send them in computers because they didn't have computers. It's a handwritten card with grades on it, and I am glad to tell you that in 1 6-week period, I flunked every subject,
wow,
including P.E., so there is hope, isn't there?
There definitely is. And you're opening a school. I mean, it's amazing, really, when you think about what God can do with folks like you and me.
Yeah, you know, and by the way, the school is Lehman Academy of Excellence. It's a charter, public, classical school where kindergartners will learn Spanish and third graders will learn Latin. Sixth graders will learn logic. And that's interesting, the Latin, because I took Latin 5 times in high school, passed it twice, and once only because I copied off of a kid named Carl Maas who was sitting in front of me. See what you do, Susie. You just bring out all these confessions out of my heart.
I have that effect once in a while. But I wish if I could do school again with my kids, I'd send them to your school. It sounds amazing. And but thank you, and I'm so sorry I put you on the spot. But you've given me a lot to think about. I just want to tell you. But okay, have a happy family by Friday. I want to talk about this. Tell me the inspiration behind have a happy. That's a bold statement, first of all. So tell me what inspired you to take on this topic.
Well, I'll give you some inside information on that if you'd like.
Yes,
you know,
please.
I've written the book Have a New Kid by Friday, Have a New Teenager by Friday, Have a New You by Friday. And we were talking about really, literally, how bad families were. And we were kicking around the idea, and I say we, the publisher, the head editor, and myself. And I said, well, how about Have a Happier Family by Friday? And they said, I like it, but I think it should be Have a Happy Family by Friday. Now, happier or happy? I thought happier. They said happy. And I said, I wonder if that's too strong. And they said, well, take a look around. How many happy families do you see? I said, phew. Hmm. They said, write the book, fat boy.
And all was said and done. I love it.
So, you know, by the way, you noticed there wasn't a title in there, Have a New Wife by Friday.
I was going to ask you about that, but I didn't know if I wanted to tread there.
Yeah, well, you're not ever going to see that book.
Okay,
so
smart man. That's good. That's good. All right.
I'm afraid of her.
Yeah, as you should be. Okay. Okay, so you say, you open the book with the challenge, and you say, you can have a happy family in a short amount of time, but it starts with you. So say more about that.
Yeah, it does. In a nutshell, I'll make this so simple. I know what you're going to do for the rest of the hour. Because in a nutshell, if you change the words you choose to use with that person you love, that person that's making that family not so happy, you can turn them around in 48 hours. In other words, what I'm saying is, if you got a kid that's mouthy, disrespectful, a husband who doesn't listen, a wife who just incessantly asks questions, which us men hate, you can turn it around by simply choosing to use different words to that person. In other words, you can alter the course of the relationship almost instantly. When you think about that, wow, I'm going to sit down and read that little book, because if I could do that, I could save myself an awful lot of grief.
Okay, so that is, so Monday's charge. So each chapter is a day of the week, and Monday's charge is choose your words, change your family. And it is so true, Kevin Witt, when we get too busy, we forget that how we say things is just as important as what we say. So speak to that family that's just, they've got several kids in sports, they got busy church schedules, work schedules. To stop today, it is Monday, okay, to stop and look not only at what you're saying, but how you're saying it. Take it from there.
Well, you know, I'm a former dean of students at the University of Arizona, I think in semesters. But I would ask you at this point, what was last semester like in your home? Everybody think about, what was the semester like in your home just this past fall? Okay, everybody thinking? Now, I'm telling you, there's nothing going to be any different in this semester. It's going to be the same, unless you do some things differently. Now, number one, you mentioned activities. Now, those of you who live in the frozen tundra, where you could play hockey on the streets. By the way, it's a sunny blue sky and probably about 71.
You know, that's just wrong. That's just wrong.
Come see us. But I digress.
Yes, you do.
But, number one, too many activities for kids. We got kids in way too many activities. Now, I'm just talking practically for families now. We got three kids and they're in three activities. Well, when your kid's in junior hockey, you're in junior hockey. Okay? You're subject to the children. And so what we've so effectively done in our society, Susie, is we brought up kids to feel like they're the center of the universe.
Mm-hmm.
And we make them happy, happy, happy at every turn, by giving them activities and things and things and things. And if you bring up your kid that way, I'm here to tell you, and you might be deceiving yourself, but there's no room in that kid's life for God. Because you bring that kid up to feel that he's the center of the universe. But he's not the center of the universe. Almighty God is.
Yeah.
And so what I'm saying is, part of it is just common sense. Slow down. Don't get your kids in every activity. Now, again, that's anti-American just to say those words. I realize that. But practically what I'm talking about, when I talk about changing relationship with a kid, your 14-year-old son slams the door. He stalks off from the table, and he's angry, and he goes to his bedroom, and he's mad, and he wants everybody to know it. Now, what do most parents say? Most of parents who are authoritarian-based, and most of us are, especially Christians, we scream and yell, "Hey, don't you be slamming the door in this house, young man." Okay, that's the authoritarian stance. And there's only one way to bring up a kid, and it's not an authoritarian manner. The problem is, most of our methods of dealing with kids are based upon exactly that, authoritarianism. And God is not an authoritarian. Now, let's go back to the slam door. A different way of handling it. Richard, honey, excuse me, I'm not sure what that slam door meant. Did that mean you're sick of living in this four-bedroom home with all the amenities of life? Just checking. In other words, there's ways, Susie, of calming things down in such a way is that the home doesn't become a battleground.
Mm.
Kids come home from school, and what does almost every parent say to a kid when he comes home from school? Honey, how was your day? Fine. What'd you do in school today? Nothing. I mean, we set kids up to tune us out, and they tune us out systematically. They become slamming clickers where they go to their bedroom door, they slam their door, they click it locked, and then they text their buddies like a woodpecker that's got ADHD.
I'm going to stop right there because I don't even know what a woodpecker that has ADHD does, but it seems scary to me. Talking to Dr. Kevin Lehman today about have a happy family by Friday. How to improve communication, respect, and teamwork in 5 days. You got questions? Now's the time to call. 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. Or email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Or with Dr. Kevin Lehman in just a moment. So do you believe it's possible to have a happy family by Friday? Dr. Kevin Lehman says so. We're talking to him today about just that. Here's a quote from his book. Was the first meal you ever prepared your best? Was the first job you secured the best job you've ever had? Likely not. The point is, we all have to start somewhere in order to make visible progress. Today's that day for you and your family. And so Monday's charge, because each day, each chapter has a day assigned to it, is to choose your words and change your family. So you were saying before the break, it's not only what we say, it's how we say it. It's not that we react. We really need to respond. So pick it up. I think you were talking about a woodpecker with ADD.
Yeah. Well, you know, kids just, you know, they live on cell phones.
Yeah.
The book that comes out next year, which will be nameless for right now, is about middle schoolers. I'll give you that much. And I went around and I talked to middle schoolers. I talked to counselors, principals in middle schools, and about 90% of kids in middle school have iPhones. 90%. So we give kids these instruments, and you talk about a life changer for a kid. The iPhone is it. It exposes them to way too many things way too early. And again, keep in mind, we're the ones that hand this grenade to the kid. We're the ones that think it's cool because you don't want your 9-year-old to feel left out and to be the only kid on the block that doesn't have an iPhone. I mean, it's crazy what we do in the name of it's good for kids. And I'm just saying it's not. But I want to help you moms, you wives in particular. You know, your husband is capable of saying some really stupid things. I mean, we can be dumb as mud. And when your husband says something really stupid, really dumb, what do you say to him? I'm suggesting that you could look your husband. This is the man you love. This is the father of your children. And you can look him right in the eye when he says something just stupid and say, wow, wow, interesting, fascinating. Don't pour kerosene on the fire. We admit we're men. You know, my wife said to me the other day, she says, are you going to wear that outside? I'm going out the door. Okay. Are you going to wear that outside? Yeah. She said, well, it's got a spot on it. I said, that's my point, honey. It only has one spot on it. I mean, we live in different worlds. God was the great creator of humor when he said this one. And the two shall become one. Okay, there's your verse. And the two shall become one. That's one of the funniest things in all of God's word.
Really?
Well, look how different we are.
It's true.
I mean, God, did you hear this story about, that's really funny. Hmm. People spend a lifetime trying to get on the same page. And I think the way God created men and women just so naturally different makes it a challenge. But Embrace this man who's different than you are, ladies. In the other day, my wife invited a girlfriend over for lunch. She's Martha Stewart incarnate. And my wife's girlfriend walks in, and her first words were, "Oh, I love your hair." And then she says, "Oh, turn around." And then they hugged each other, which they always do. They kissed each other and missed, which I find very amusing. And I was just sitting there soaking it in, and I said, "You know, you women really are weird." And they looked at me like, you know, they know my sense of humor and all that. She lives with me. And I said, "You know, just picture this. Your husband, Chris, comes over to the house, and I say to Chris, 'Oh, Chris, I love your hair. I love your hair. Turn around.' You'd put me in the loony bin." And there's just these things we do as husbands and wives that just play out who we are. And I think there's humor in some of this stuff. And I think the fact that we're so different, we just need ways of drawing us together rather than pushing us apart and realizing that my husband isn't me. So don't treat him like your girlfriend. Don't put a skirt on him. He's your husband. He needs to hear affirming words about how he contributes to the family, how he works hard, how he gives back to the family, how he's a good dad. You know, those mm-hmm. are the things that us men need to hear. We're the simpler ones than you are. You ladies are much more complex than we are, Susie.
Mm. Yeah, that's probably true. I like how you identified the core critical needs of women in this Happy Family book: affection, understanding, support, communication. So I understand the affection and the understanding. You know, I love your hair and give you a big hug. I mean, that is a girlfriend thing. And then the guys, to be needed, to be wanted, to be respected, to be fulfilled. I can see why a comment about your hair wouldn't do much for you.
Yeah. See, I've learned, I think part of growing up and learning, to the point of when you made your first cake, it probably wasn't the greatest cake in the world. I've learned that my wife is huge on affection. And so I've learned to take a bar of soap and make a big heart where she gets dressed in the morning.
Mm.
And I'll write with soap just a couple of words about her. Or I'll send her a shoebox card in the mail. So when she brings in the mail, she's got a little note from the guy she's been married to forever.
Wow. You know, you can really sound like such a big lug, but when you do stuff like that, you just downright impress me, Kevin.
Well, you know, I tell a story about taking my wife. She loves Five Fork restaurants.
Oh, wow.
She loves them. Five Forks, Four Forks, Three Forks. I'm a one-forker, Susie.
I bet
you could have guessed that.
Okay, I got to tell you something real quick before you tell me the story. We have to go to break in about 40 seconds, and I don't want to miss what you're going to say. Should we hold on?
Let's just, you sing for 40 seconds, and
okay.
I'll be here when you come back. And
okay.
I'll tell you about taking her to the five-star restaurant.
I can't wait to hear this. Dr. Kevin Lehman took his wife to a five-star restaurant. He's a good husband. We're talking about having a happy family by Friday. We're digressing a little bit. There's some really good stuff you want to hear here. Give us a call if you got a question. 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484, or email Susie@myfaithradio.com. Back with Dr. Kevin Lehman. He is a stand-up comic, and he's a very smart guy. Love to talk with him. He'll be back in just a moment. Tuning in today, I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, having a fun conversation with my friend, Dr. Kevin Lehman. He's written a lot of books. We're talking today about how to have a happy family by Friday, how to improve communication, respect, and teamwork in 5 days. If you've got a question, now's the time to call 877-933-2484. Before the break, we kind of digressed a little bit, but this is in the book, so it's not too big of a digression. Talking about the core critical needs of both men and women, and you were making fun of your wife and her friend who were hugging each other and talking about their hair and how you didn't quite get that, and how women need affection, understanding, support, and communication, and men need to be needed, wanted, respected, and fulfilled. And we left before the break, Kevin, where you were saying that your wife likes five fork restaurants. I didn't even know there was such a thing.
Oh, yes, there are. They're okay. The ones where the guy comes over and gives you more water about every 10 seconds. They drive me nuts. But she just really likes nice food, and she likes nice restaurants. And, you know, I grew up in Buffalo, poor, and I'm a one forker. And so one night I took her to this five forker, and afterward we're driving back. And Tucson has a lot of beautiful hotels that, depending upon what time of year, you could get a $400 room for $59 for a night. So we're driving home, and I pull in this hotel parking lot, and she looks at me and says, What are you doing? I said, honey, we're going in here. And she says, I don't know what you got in your mind, but I'm not getting out of the car. Now, Susie, with God as my judge, and he is my judge, I would call that an uncooperative spirit. Okay? Mm-hmm. So I go over to open the door, and she's locked the door. Got a cute sense of humor.
You met your match there, Kevin.
This is a woman who had five children, by the way. And so finally, I got the key in the... So long story short, I open it up. And so we start walking up toward the hotel, and her body language is just saying, I am not happy. I am not happy. I am not happy. And we went up to the room, and it was a king-size bed. And inside that, and I had the key for the room in my pocket because I was there in the afternoon. But that little letter I mentioned prompted this incident. And so we walk in there, and there's two books that I bought for her next to her bedstand. And there's some sweetheart roses. Mm. Long story short, I peeled back the sheets for her. I kissed her goodnight, and I told her I'd be back the next day at 1 o'clock to take her to late breakfast.
Wow.
And I'm just telling you, the men, I hope you're listening. It's the little things you do. Again, we have five kids. My wife gave birth at age 42 and 48 to our number four and five child. So what I had to deal with as a man is my wife likes being in a hotel in a king-size bed alone with one of her best friends, her latest book. She loves books. She's a firstborn, voracious reader. And you do those things. You do those things because hopefully you know what makes your wife tick, what makes your husband tick. You do those things throughout your marriage. Now, if you want to have a happy family by Friday, you learn to do exactly things like that. And do them the way, you know, I don't like those restaurants. She says things like, oh, honey, I love the food. It was exquisite. I have never said food is exquisite. How can a hot dog or a hamburger be exquisite? And she says, I love the presentation. I mean, all that stuff I think is sort of weird, but it's who she is, and so I do my best to love her from behind her eyes. And that's part of having a happy family. Parents, when was the last time you asked your kids what they thought? You know, I'm telling you what I'm telling you isn't rocket science, but it's so simple, it's almost profound, Susie.
Well, it is. In fact, I'm so curious about this because you say, you talk about the importance of validating our kids' opinions, but you also say, if you want to know what your kids are thinking, don't ask them. So help me understand this one.
Don't ask them questions?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, you're saying it's probably those loaded questions, right?
It's one of the best suggestions in the whole book.
Yeah, okay.
Because if you don't ask your kids questions, number one, the kid's going to wonder, what the heck's going on? Because all you've done in my whole life is ask me questions. And what you have to understand is your kids actually want you to affirm them. So when a kid says something interesting, just say something like, wow, tell me more about that. Now, tell me more about that is a command in the English language, but it doesn't put the defenses up. And I hope you women are listening as you talk to your husbands. Husbands hate questions. We have no friends. We have associates. We go and sit in a tree waiting for Bambi's grandfather to come over the hill in the fall when we go deer hunting. We sit looking in a boat for a hapless walleye in silence for 30 or 40 minutes. And then we say, any hits? Nothing. That's communication. So, again, I go back to the humor that God has designed in us, and he's designed it in a way to make it work. The masculinity and the femininity complement each other. And so those parents that have middle children at home, remember, I'm the same guy that wrote the birth order book. Middle children feel squeezed. They feel like no one pays attention to them. I mean, if you want to ask a question, how about this question? Honey, can I ask your opinion about something? If you say that to your middle child, he or she will about fall over because nobody seems to ask his or her opinion about anything. So what I'm saying is there's ways of entering these people's lives that you love, that you take a bullet for. But I'm telling you, it's not happening across America. We don't do this good because we have all the answers and we're the authoritarians. Now, I want to go back to Almighty God. He's my friend. Almighty God is not an authoritarian. And that's what you must believe with all your heart. But he's not a permissive either. He doesn't say just do your own thing and it's fine. But he is the supreme what? Authority. And his scripture says, here's another scripture, Susie, every knee shall bow. Wow. And so you want to be that authoritative parent who doesn't let kids run over them. You don't, you know, cave into them. Brittany, it's 8 o'clock. Have you chosen to go to bed, sweetheart? No, you need to be a parent. But I'm just telling you, he's designed it in such a marvelous way that I think all of us should see that if you're rearing kids today, and here's the brave statement of the hour, there's only one way to bring up a child, and that is from the authoritative standpoint.
I'm confused. You said there's only one way, or that we tend to think there's only one way?
No, there's only one way.
Okay, say more.
You have to be an authoritative parent. Because most of our, what you have to understand is all of our parenting skills and techniques that we use in our society, in Western society, rearing kids, is based upon superior-inferior relationships that says, I'm bigger than you are, I'm better than you are, and therefore, listen up, you're going to do what I tell you to do. Well, I got news for you. That's not who Almighty God is.
Mm-hmm.
Almighty God says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He tells you. Okay, but does he love us enough to give us free will so we can go and do our own thing and pay for it later? Yeah, he does. He does.
Yeah.
So the Christian home needs to be a place where kids learn to fail. And remember, Jesus came to this earth to put an end to religion. To put an end to religion. He came to give us new life. I think we forget that, Susie.
I think you're absolutely right. And when you just pause and look at your chapter on Monday about choosing your words and change your family, we can so go on autopilot. We get rehearsed responses that we don't even realize how they sound anymore. And so just that, to pause and go, am I reacting versus responding? Am I saying the same things if I turn into a nag? I mean, all those things are so worth backing up and going, this is a person God loves. This is a person God has given opinions and thoughts to. Just that one chapter talks about respecting each individual in the home. I want to make sure, just pause here because Joseph, we lost him. He called in from Topeka, and we lost him, and now we got him back. He's got a question for you today. Joseph, welcome. You're on the air.
Hi. I actually recently just surrendered my life to God. On the 9th. And I have a history of addiction, and I used to be a drug dealer. And I didn't have a good childhood growing up with my father. And I'm just wondering how to – I know that family comes before ministry, and I learned that via Nick Vujicic, I believe is his name.
Vujicic, yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sorry.
Mm-hmm. That's all right. That's a tough name.
And I'm just trying to get some more guidance on how to go about telling my dad that I love him and just opening up that new world and growing my relationship with my family.
Well, first of all, Joseph, God bless you for calling and just even sharing that part of your story. Wow. What do you say, Dr. Lehman?
Yeah, number one. You almost took the words out of my mouth, Susie, which is hard to do. But, you know, you're on that journey now. And, yes, you have to honor God in all that you do. And you walk with him every day. And you can drive down the street and you can be talking to the creator of the universe. If that's not cool, I don't know what is. But you know what? I think so many times us men just miss it when it comes to family. And if we would listen to our wives, wives are closer to life than us men are. I do a lot of business speaking to business groups, corporations. I always tell people, always run things by, if I'm talking to men, to run things by your spouse first, because they are so in tune with what has to happen in families today. And so I wouldn't let the activities of the world choke out the growth that you've got. Is your wife a believer?
I'm actually 23, and I've actually never had a legitimate girlfriend that I could say I love. I've had such a sinful past.
All right, but here's the thing. Now, if I'm talking to a woman, okay, Joseph, I'm saying, number one, find a guy who loves God. Now, here comes the hard part for you. Find a man who has a great relationship with his mother. I don't know where you are with mom or what she was like.
I love my mother. I have a much better relationship with my mother than I do with my father.
Yeah, all right. That's more of a key component, because as a woman, you want a man who respects women. Chances are there's a lot of things in your life, in your past, where you didn't respect women, would be my guess.
Yes.
And so this is something that you have to learn as a Christian, that once you ask for forgiveness for that, it's like it's never happened. The problem is that life is like having a pizza on a Saturday night, and you eat the pizza at 7, and you can still taste it at 10 o'clock at night. And so the nature of sin is so pervasive in our life, especially sexual sin, for example, that it's something that you have to battle with your mind as well as your heart and say, I know God has forgiven me for that. And so if you're like most of us, I got news for you. You're going to make 3 steps forward. You're going to make a couple back, but you're going to keep going. And you keep going with an active prayer life where you simply say, Lord, it's your will and not mine. I want to please you in everything I do.
I'm going to jump in here, if I could, Dr. Lehman, because a couple of things. He wants to make amends with his dad. He wanted some advice on that. You'd mentioned him connecting with a guy that's got a great relationship with his mom. Is that like a mentorship kind of relationship? Is that what you're talking about?
No, just it's a good sign. It's a good sign that there's some things in Joseph that would make him great material for a young woman to marry.
Hmm.
Now, there's some things that are on his father's side that are probably negatives in his life. But greater is God than anything you're going to face. So as you rely on him for all things, that's the hard part. See, most of us, Joseph, make deals with God. We say, all right, Lord, I'm yours, all 96%. And I just want to hold on to this little 4%. That's not how it works. You have to surrender it all, and you do that daily. It's not like you did it, you know, on the 9th. You do it every day.
Okay, let me jump in because Joseph, I just love your heart, and I want to give Dr. Lehman a chance to even speak into this more because we have to take a break here in a moment. But I want to say, you know, with what Nick Vujicic and others have said about family comes before ministry, I do love that. But in this situation, when you're talking about extended family and Joseph is trying to build a bridge with his dad, let's say his dad is not receptive, is not forgiving, even though God sees Joseph as brand new, clean, no spot, no stain on you, Joseph, but your dad is not so receptive. In this context, I wouldn't say family comes before ministry in that he's disqualified from ministry if he's got this broken bridge with his family, right, Dr. Lehman?
Yeah, I think what you can ask for forgiveness. The fact that dad either grants or doesn't grant that's up in the air. You have to continue to do what you do. I wouldn't get, you know, just God is first, okay? Ministry gets in the way. I deal with a lot of pastors. I'd love to tell you that every pastor is great and every church is great. Young people your age, Joseph, millennials, they're avoiding the church like the plague. And many of them love God, but they see the hierarchy. They see the frailty within the church, and they run from it.
We need to take a break. There's okay. so much. We have Joseph. He's on hold. If you're able to hold Joseph, I want to get you back on so we can just maybe give you some tangibles about reaching out to your dad and encouraging you. We've got some books, too, we'd love to send your way, so we've got to get your address from Grace. This is Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson talking to Dr. Kevin Lehman. I just am so blessed by your call, Joseph, and just your life, and I'm just praying and trusting God's best for you. Don't go away. We'll probably have a few more minutes to take another call if you've got a question for Dr. Lehman, 877-933-2484. Don't go away. We'll be right back. Day today. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, Hour 2, talking to Dr. Kevin Lehman about having a happy family by Friday. And each chapter is broken down in the day of the week. Monday is choose your words and change your family. Just the way that you respond, just not only the words you say, how you say them, can make a game changer turning point in your family. Tuesday is looking at the big five, time, priorities, activities, work, and finances. We may touch on that next time Dr. Lehman comes on, but before the break, Joseph called in. And Joseph, I have such a heart for you. And Joseph talked about just his past drug use, and he's come to Christ and now wants to rebuild a relationship with his dad, which has been a strained relationship just for lots of different reasons. And Dr. Lehman, just some first steps maybe Joseph can take to reach out to try to mend this relationship.
Well, one of the things, when I talk to business people, now many of the people I'm talking to, Joseph, are multi-millionaires. They're people that have everything in life.
Okay.
But I talk with them about the power of the short note. And the power of the short note is downright unique, because you can write a note to your dad that just says, "Dad, you're not going to believe it, but I'm a changed man. And let me tell you why I'm changed. Let me tell you what's happened in my life." Tell them what's happened in your life briefly, okay? And I underline the word briefly. And my prayer for you, Dad, is that someday you'll come to that same understanding that I have in that relationship with Almighty God. I want you to know
I'm
sorry.
Mind if I butt in real quick?
Yeah.
I noticed my dad, actually, he would completely accept me into his life if I would go up to him. It's completely my fault. My mom's a follower of God, and I know my dad knows God, but he doesn't know him well enough. But it's totally my fault. I've broken that relationship with him, and I need to repair it.
Well, I don't
even say I love you to him anymore.
Well, all right, Joseph, I don't mean, I want to be soft and gentle and not come across as caustic, but what prevents you from saying the words, "I love you, Dad"?
I don't know.
So you have some kind of
wound. No, wait a minute, hold on, because you're not going to get off the hook, because you're a druggie, okay?
Yeah, I have no idea.
Which means you got a lot of slickness in you.
Okay,
and I'm not going to let you off the hook.
Yes,
what
sir.
Prevents you from saying, "Dad, I love you, I'm sorry, I was wrong"?
That's probably my past relationship with him. And
but the question, Joseph, is what prevents you from saying that now? You've called the show. You say you want to. I'm just saying, what prevents you from it?
That's a question I have to ask myself over and over, because I really can't give you a response.
See, the enemy lies inside of us. The magic dust isn't in Susie's microphone or my book. The magic dust is within you to pony up, to own up for what you've done, and just share your heart with your dad. If you can't do that, you're not going to move forward in your Christian life, in your walk with God. So you do the obvious things, the simple things. And if you do that, you're going to find that life is going to move quickly and smoother for you in the right direction.
Can I ask, Joseph, do you deal with some unforgiveness towards him? Do you feel like by you owning what you've done, he has some of his own responsibility? Maybe that hasn't been a part of a conversation, so you're kind of throwing yourself under the bus, so to speak. Is that what you sort of feel like? If I take this, I'm taking the whole thing, and I still feel a wound in my heart that he's not rectified yet.
That could be very possibly it, yes.
Hmm. Well, I wonder if we could pray for Joseph. Would you mind doing that for us, Dr. Lehman? Pray for Joseph, because our show is almost ready to wrap up, and I don't want to leave him hanging. Is there any way would you?
Yeah, okay. Sure. Right. Be glad to. Lord, you've heard Joseph's heart. Sometimes, as you know, Lord, it's hard to get everything working together inside of us because of our past, because of the hurts that we've laid on other people, and because sometimes it hurts that we've incurred from other people. So, Lord, I just want you to encourage him to stand up and be the man he needs to be and to move forward one step at a time, knowing that you have him in the palm of your hand.
Mm-hmm.
And, Lord, I just pray that he'll continue to submit his will to you every day of his life, and count on you for all things. And as the song says, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace.
Yeah.
So, Lord, be with Joseph now and forevermore.
Mm. Amen. Joseph, you can't be responsible for what your dad does, but you can be for what you've done. And God knows where that dividing line is, what's yours, what's his. But I think if you obey him, you obey the Lord, and you go first. I'm thinking of Psalm 62:7, my salvation and my honor depend on God alone. He's my mighty rock and my refuge. You do your thing. You do the thing you're supposed to do. God will vindicate. He'll make right what he needs to make right in due time. But you can do what you can do, you know?
Thank you both for listening to me and for praying.
I'm gonna be praying for you in the days ahead. Thank you for calling.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you.
Mm. Wow. And, I mean, as you talked about, Dr. Lehman, you look around and there's brokenness everywhere. And,
everywhere.
Yeah. Appreciate you taking the time with him very, very much. We just have about a minute before we pray, and we've not even gotten to Tuesday or Wednesday, so you've got to come back if you would.
Well, let me just tell something real quickly.
Okay.
There's a thing in the book called The Perfect Storm.
Yeah.
Which parents need to understand that you've got this kid that's beginning to break away from you because he's growing up. And he's equipped today technology-wise like we've never seen before. He's in a peer group in a broken world that's falling apart. And if you're not aware of that perfect storm under your nose, parents, you're in for a rough ride.
Wow. Well, it's such an important conversation today, and I'm going to have Grace connect with you, Dr. Lehman. And if and when it works, Lord willing, we'd love to have you come back and dig in some more. I feel like we've scratched the surface of the content of this book. But as we wrap up, wondering if you would pray for that parent who's sensing the storm but maybe hasn't totally prepared for it. Would you just pray for them?
Sure. Lord, as parents, we're assured that you're God and who you say you are, you are. I love the little verse, be still and know that I'm God. So, Lord, I just pray for that parent that's looking at the crack in the ceiling tonight and wondering where to turn. I just want to encourage them to turn to you for all things and to get themselves on the right track with their parents, with their kids, by doing things differently starting today.
Yeah. Mm. Amen. Dr. Lehman, thanks for joining us today, and I'm so sorry I called you a lughead. I'm feeling bad.
What did you call me?
I didn't. Nothing. Never mind.
I want that repeated.
I called you a lughead, but you're not a lughead. You're a good man.
Well, my wife has called me worse than that. So.
Well, bless you. I know you're a busy man. Thanks for joining us today.
You're welcome, Susie.
Be blessed.
This is the day when the lost are found. This is the day for a new beginning. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Again, you hear of the angels are singing. This is the day when life begins.
It's a brand new day. Don't know where you've been, but guess what? God makes all things new. Joseph, and those who are listening just like Joseph who have a story like that, don't give up. God is with you, and He does make all things new. So glad you tuned in. Glad you've been listening. You're going to find podcasts of both hours on our website at myfaithradio.com. And guess what? There's some great podcasts. I'm sorry, there's great articles up there that I want you to check out when you get there. Lots of refreshing blog content on our website, myfaithradio.com. I'll leave you with this. You hear it every day. The Lord wants you to last long and finish strong, and He's the one who'll keep you strong to the end. Have a great day.